Happy Sabbath, everyone. Been a great one so far. Great music, great singing, great accompaniment, and great message. In fact, we were talking before church, and he sort of smiled when I told him what I was going to be speaking on, and now I get to get rid of half my sermon. By the way, that was his first sermonette. What a good sermonette. Way to begin. Very calm. I don't think I was that calm the first time I came. Probably not even now. I hope you all had a good week. I hope that you didn't get flooded out. I was talking with our friend up in Springfield there, and he said they got 4 inches of rain in 3 days. Man. That's a lot of rain. When the first big storm hit, I was down in my campground, and I just sold my camper, and was trying to get our stuff out, and boy, we saw this black cloud coming. I mean, it looked bad. And the guy bought my camper said, hey, there's a bad storm coming. He was getting ready to leave, and I probably had about 10 more minutes or so to get the rest of the thing. And so he left. He said, you may want to stay. Well, we hurried up, and about time we got in the truck, I mean, the wind was blowing strong, and by the time we got in the truck, we just beat the big rain hit. So we tried to drive home, and on the coming out of where our campground or where we were at, it's a small, narrow road. And let me tell you, we couldn't see 30 feet in front of us. It was so bad. And all of a sudden, you'd see a light, and you'd say, I got to get over a little, and there's not far to go. I hope he's getting over, too. We made it. And we went about 15 miles, and we went west a little bit, and we came out of it. But we did go up where they had some trees down, coming home up on 68. There was trees laying down, and there was all kind of limbs broke everywhere. So that must have been part of the area got hit bad. But thankfully, everything worked well for us. So we were glad to get home, and when we got home, we saw there was no damage at our house, so that made us happy, too. So I hope none of you had any damage. I just hope that water damage or tree from it or anything else. So, you know, this has been a hot summer so far, hasn't it? And when you look around and see what's going on in this nation of ours, we just sort of have to say, wow, what in the world is going on? Well, you know, let's go back and Genesis 1, which was referred to earlier, and since he went through it pretty well in different areas, Genesis 1, of course, is where God created the earth and everything we know. It tells us all about his creation, the creation, and the way he made it that he wanted for us. He was hoping, and I'm sure he's wanting Adam and Eve, once he created them, to what? Love him, understand him, and obey him, and rejoice in what he was doing for them. They lived in the Garden of Eden. What a blessing, you know. But as we all know, as we go into later on, it happens. Let's turn there. All this great environment that God has put them into, and yet he created Adam and Eve, and he made them perfect. Do you realize that the forefathers and them lived hundreds of years? We got cut down later on to 120. And finally, in Psalms 90, which I put my hope on anymore, because it says in Psalms 90, let's go there just real quick for you to, you've probably read it before and know it, but Psalms 90 tells you that God gives us 70 years. And he also says in that verse 90, and since I'm over the 70 years, I definitely hope that I'll continue. But in verse 9 and verse 10, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they that are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. Now, I, for years, tried to figure out what that labor and sorrow meant. Getting up in that age, between 70 and 80, and I'm just about ready to hit a little over three-quarter mark, I understand, because your body is not the same. You have fallen quite a bit. The energy that you used to have, the strength you used to have, is not there physically. The body is deteriorating. And with this, we have to rely that much more on God to strengthen us, guide us, and direct us. Because without Him, we are nothing. We know that anyhow. But when you get older, you realize you've cut back quite a bit. That's a little bit of diversion, but let's go back to Genesis 3. And just a few things I want to point out. As you know, Eve took part in the fruit. It was what? God had said what? You can have anything in this garden off of any tree except one. The knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, we, you and I, have gone through, and the whole world since then, has gone through the transition from being in a perfect atmosphere, a perfect condition, which is the Garden of Eden, with God speaking with you directly, to what we have today. And even though they had sinned, what was it? It said in verse 25, they both knew they were naked and they were ashamed. Before that point, they never knew they were naked. That's how pure it was. That's how pure the atmosphere was. The territory was. That's the pureness that we're going to see when God the Father returns. I don't know about that part, but we're going to be spirit beings. But, you know, it was pure. God's way was pure. God's way is pure. But now we look at and see what happened to them. They said, let's go down to temptation of Eve in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it. Eat or touch it, lest you die. Now, we need to be aware of who we're working against, which is Satan, the devil. He was able, when you look at it, really look at it, in a short period of time, to deceive them and do the one thing that God had told them not to do. We in our lives need to realize Satan is working on you and I every day. God has called you and I. You who and I have been chosen to be a part of His divine kingdom. When we accepted the calling that He gave us, and then we were baptized. I want to go back just a little bit. It's what Satan works on. Satan works on what we read in Proverbs 17, 9, 11. So if you'll turn with me there. It says in Proverbs 17, it says, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of his cub rather than a fool in his folly. That is something that you would know if you know a mother, how much they love a child. How would you like to come upon a bear? Well, in Psalms 19, or Psalm 17, I'm sorry. It says, from the wicked who oppose me, from any deadly enemies who surround me, they have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have not surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth, like a lion that is eager to tear his prey, and as a young lion lurking in secret places. This is what Satan does. He is around every corner, everywhere we are at. He is wanting to destroy you and me. As time goes on in the beginning, we go through Israel. And we as Israel are making the same mistakes they made. And they did it time after time after time. The one mistake they made was in 1 Samuel 8:1. And as you know, that was when they rejected God being over them. That's 1 Samuel. I'm sorry if I didn't say 1 Samuel. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside, dishonest, gained, took bribes, and perverted justice. Does that sound familiar in who we have ruling the United States now? Looks pretty familiar to me. Then all the elders of Israel gathered ways, now make for us a king to judge us like all other nations. They decided they would rather have a king than God the Father. And they were pressing for it. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now I'm sure, since we can see the past, we understand what a foolish thing that was to do. But they were looking at the people around them, and they wanted to be just like them. We cannot want to be like the world we're in. You and I have to come out of this world. And God has called you and I out of it. Verse 8, and according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. What Israel did, nothing has changed. They repented for a while. They had a good king, bad king. Good king, bad, bad, bad king. But whatever it was, Israel was finally divided, right? And they've been divided ever since. The house of Israel has been divided. We have been rejecting God as a nation ever since that time, and look where we are now. Last weekend, we as a nation, United States of America, we're celebrating our 246th birthday. The more we and our leaders reject God, the worse our nation becomes. We, you and I alone, with everyone God has called and respected him as our God and accept him as our God and Father, we answered that calling at our baptism. Go back and think about your baptism, how you felt when you came up out of the water and had all your sins washed away. And we all had plenty. And they were gone because we said we would obey God. And he would be our master, our king, and we would love and serve him. We, you and I alone, with everyone God has called and accepted him as our God and Father, we answered that calling at our baptism, and we were so happy. I've never seen anybody come out of baptism that didn't have a smile on their face. And relief, because they knew what they had been, and they knew how it weighed them down once you understood God's way of life. We all went through that. Because all our sins were forgiven at that time. And we had a clean sheet. There wasn't one thing on the sheet that you had done wrong at that point. And do we not do that once a year? When we go to Passover? We do the same thing. Renewing our contract with God our Father. And if we've done our part and we repent, we come out of that evening with a clean sheet because of who? Your brother and my brother, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life and came to earth to do his Father's will. And his Father's will was what? That we be a part of his family. He loves each and every one of us. All of our sins were forgiven. We had that clean sheet. Jesus Christ, our Savior, came to this world as a human physical being. Never sinned. Never sinned once. Not once. And give his life as a sacrifice for all mankind that our sins could and would be forgiven if you and I repent. God loved us so much and still loves each of us so much. He knows everything about you and me. He knows everything we do. He knows our thoughts. And we're to be doing what? We're to be doing and growing in a pure heart and a pure mind and preparing to become kings and priests. That's our calling. That's our calling. And we're going to be helping in God's kingdom to teach others God's way. The way that it leads to true happiness, true peace. You know, the prodigal son, won't turn there, but prodigal son shows God's love for all his children, even those who have sinned and gone astray. Just as you and I, if any of us had children or spouses who were in the church at one time and go astray, did God not want you and I to be here? You bet he did. That's why Christ gave his sacrifice, so that not only you and I who are understanding it now, but for the whole world to be able to come back. And if one of us go astray, God is there looking for us and wanting us to, whatever, like the prodigal son did, where he wallowed in everything and was eating like the pigs. He finally realized, wow, finally woke up. Wow, boy. It'd be a lot better as I was with my father, because at least I would be able to eat. I'd have clean clothing. I'd be able to clean up. We had food. We had fun. I had a family who cared for me, not someone who threw me out in a slop pen to take care of pigs and could care less if I ate or not. That story shows the one thing that is so important. When you see the Father, you notice that he's all the time looking out. He was all the time looking out, hoping that that son would come back. How many days or years he did it, I do not know. But if your son or daughter is gone, how often do you think about them and hope that God will open their mind, or hope that they will come apart and see and come back to be with us? God loves each of us more than we love our children. And you'd say, oh, that's hard to believe. But I'll tell you what. I do not know every hair on my kid's head. I have no idea how many hairs they got. I have no idea how many hairs my wife has. But God knows every hair on your head, and my head. Mine's going to be easier to count. But the point is, he knows everything about each and every one of us. And he wants each and every one of us to look at ourselves and to continue to remember our commitment to him at baptism. Because things do get tough. It was brought out earlier. Sometimes people just give up. You and I cannot give up. You and I are called to be kings and priests. By the Almighty God, the Father of all, and He who created everything. Turn with me to Genesis 25. Verse 29, if you would. Go back and talk about what happened. And you'll remember it when you see it. The two brothers, remember? 29. Here we go. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. He was a hunter. He was a, what you call, a man's man. He wanted to go out and hunt and stuff like that. And his brother was not that type of person. Jacob wasn't the same way. He was a good cook. He was good at other things, had other talents. But Esau was a strong man. He loved to go out and hunt. He loved to provide and that. But he was weary. He'd been out a whole long time. He must not have got anything. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Birthright meant a lot. Birthright, you were the firstborn. You're the one to succeed in being in charge of the family if your father dies. Esau said, "Look, I am about to die." Now, it may have been a little bit of an exaggeration. You know, sometimes you ever hear little kids say, "I'm starving." And they've eaten three meals before lunch, you know. They don't know what starving is. But I'm sure he may have knew more. He probably was exhausted and really. He said, "Look, I am about to die. So what profit shall this birthright be to me?" Didn't understand the importance of the birthright. Do we understand the importance of being first fruits? Do we really understand what God is giving us if when we become the first fruits? We are kings and priests. We're preparing to be kings and priests and be in his holy city of Jerusalem with him forever and doing his will. But what did he do? Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob over a pot of stew. Now, if he was at Jacob's place, are you telling me that he was a long way from where he could get some water, some food? Or was it he just didn't want to go any farther? It doesn't say where he was at. He said that he came in. But he sold his birthright that easily because he said, "What good is it to me?" And then after that, what did he do? He hated his brother because he took it. His brother didn't take it. He just said, "If you want the stew, that's what you got to do." And he said, "Okay, give me the bowl of stew. I'm happy." He wasn't happy after that, was he? He realized he had made one huge mistake. We do not want to become deceived in any way, because Satan is wanting to deceive you and me to leave and desert God. Go away from God and suffer with him and all those who have suffered with him. Look around us, what's going on in this world. It's all about money. It's all about self. God is what? All about love. Our God is love. Let's go to 1 John 4:8. He tells us this. Let's go to verse 7. It says, ahead of mine on above this says, "Knowing God through love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. All we have to do is look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. Let's turn there. I'm sorry, I didn't say what verse did it. Do you know it? I think you probably know it, but I didn't say it. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of God's Spirit is love. Because with love comes joy when you think about it. And you have peace. And there's a lot of love around. There's a lot of peace. There isn't arguments. There isn't somebody looking to take something. It's everybody is happy and together. We're long-suffering. Not thinking everything revolves around us. We're thinking about others also. Being a part of a family. You know, we just lost Charlie and my brother-in-law, and a brother of each of us. And I've seen the long suffering that my wife has for her sister, and the long suffering the family has for Kathy. And you see what they go out of their way to make sure that they can help during this time of pain and hurt. And if you had had this in your family, you understand it. And that long suffering from someone who is there for your beckoning in any way and asking, can I help you? What can I do? Do you need me to go to the store? Do you need me to pick up one of the kids or go do this, whatever it may be? Do you need a place to stay? Would you like to just come and stay with us for a few days? I know all of you have probably done it. They're older. How many have taken in their parents? Because of long suffering. You're willing to suffer with them for long, and you do it because you love them. And that's what we're to do to each other, is to love. Love what we can do for one another as a family. God has called us to be His family. And the head of our family is a father who is full of love for each and every one of us. And He wants us to be a part of that family now and forever. And He doesn't want any of us to leave. He doesn't want any of us to fall as Adam and Eve did, or any of the others through the years. You know, we've been called to be the lights of the world. Ooh. Our light is to shine not only to each other, but to the whole world and everyone we meet. They should see something different about us than what they see in other people. Because if we're full of love, it is something that spreads. It is something that people feel. They feel the sincerity. They feel the kindness. And they know that the concern is real. Because your actions show it. Love is something that shows. And that's why we need to be full of it. Not only when we're in church on Sabbath or when we're with the church family. Because you feel this in the church. When you come to church, don't you just feel relieved when you come into church? Isn't it just like, oh, finally, this is God's Sabbath. I'm going to be with my friends, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to hear God's word. I'm going to sing praises with them to God, our God. And He wants us here. He tells us we are to be here. He doesn't say if you feel like it. Now, you who are sick, that's a whole different thing. God knows you want to be here, and we're so glad, and I'm so glad, and I know you all are too, that we are able to broadcast church to you. Because all of us have been sick at times and haven't been able to come to church for a while. And just to think years ago, you listened to a tape and that was good. But isn't this better? I'm sure you enjoy this better. Because when we come to church, we're obeying God, but God is having us obey so we'll be together and show love to one another, getting to know each other better, and be aware if any of our brothers or sisters need something that we can do. Are we our brother's keepers? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. That's what we're called to be. As part of that time, we took the baptism. We said we wanted to be a part of God's family. And God's family includes each and every one of us here and throughout the world who are called now. And then we're going to be able to help others to become part of a loving, caring, and giving family. When we become kings and priests, our next holy day represents Christ returning. Feast of Trumpets. Everyone will know when Christ returns. Many will tremble and fear. Hopefully we're going to be there rejoicing in every way and becoming a part of that wonderful army led by Jesus Christ. That's our calling. That's where our goal is to be. And from that time on, we will be a part of God's family and growing and preparing. Because then we go right into atonement and we're fasting to draw closer to our God and Jesus Christ and the family of God. And we're going to be taught and we're going to prepare for what comes next after atonement. The 1,000-year period of helping and being their loving kings and priests, helping them to understand God's way of life. We can never take our eyes off of that. That's why God has these holy days every year, helping us to understand His plan, that we never forget the plan. God has a plan for you and me who have repented, accepted His calling. But in that plan, we have to walk in His light and become the light to the world. Esau was willing to give up his birthright. We are not to be willing to give up God's calling. We are not to be willing to be overcome by Satan. We are not to be willing, not to be willing in any way to be deceived by the evil one. Because if we have God's Spirit with us, we will spot Satan in a second. Whoever he may be using, because he will do anything to deceive any of us. Can be loved ones, can be good friends, can be your mother, your father, brother, sister. We have to come out of this world. That's what we said we would do when we were baptized. We said, we will follow you, dear God. We will do your will. And we will serve you. Develop in the love that you have. Develop in the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? The living God. He gave the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to him. That's for sure. And then, after faithfulness, Jonah's self-control. Self-control is one thing Satan tries to get at us as much as anything. As I brought out in the sermonette, we have to be people of our word. Our word was, we said, we will be your servants now and forever if you will forgive us of our sins. And he said, if you do that, I will make you kings and priests in my divine family. We want to make sure that we never go back to where we came from. We need to make sure that Satan, the roaring lion, as it talks about him in 1 Peter 5:8, Satan is a roaring lion. The next sign behind that should be, beware. In John 8:42 to 44, let's read it. John 8:42. We'll go to, it says, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own sources. For he is a liar and the father of it. We are told there, you can believe nothing that Satan says. Nothing that people are trying when they're trying to get you to come out of God's truth, God's way of life, and saying, well, you know, you think you're better than other people. Oh, you're such a hypocrite. Oh, da, da, da. Some days we'll be thrown that. That's Satan trying to make sure, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. You didn't ever want to sin. We don't want to sin. But their accusations are trying to make you feel guilty. Look what they do up in the United States Senate and all that. And what people do, they try to make people feel guilty. Don't be guilty. Be thankful. Thank God that you and I understand to keep his holy Sabbath day. That's a sign between him and his people. If we give up that sign, then Satan has won. And you know what that means? If he wins, we lose. God has called us to be winners and be a part of his family. Today we have been the blessing of being called now. It says, many are called, few are chosen. Many who are called do not respond. You and I responded to the calling that he gave us. Let's not fall away from that calling, from that love that God let us see and understand, and to understand his plan. It's getting closer and closer. The worse the world gets, the closer Christ is to returning. Can you imagine how we are going to feel? Whether we're alive and see Jesus Christ come down, or if you're raised from the grave, first thing you'll see is Jesus Christ coming down. And hopefully we're going to see a lot of people we know. And yet when I say a lot of people, when you compare the number of people in the world, we may be like that big in the map to the whole world. We're a very small group. But God didn't say he was going to call a big group. He just was going to have the lights where they will know to go to. We're going to be a light. Like it says, you don't set a light on a hill unless you want it to be seen. God wants you and I to be seen. God wants you and I to be that light that people see a difference in. And hopefully, if you have met them at work, or you met them in wherever you meet someone who hasn't been called by God yet or hasn't answered a call, someday they're going to remember you. Think about that. They will remember meeting you, whether it was for 15, 20 minutes or something, some type of contact. They're going to remember you. And you may be in charge of helping them if they're brought into the God's family. Can you imagine? And guess what? Everything will come back to you that you said to them or they said to you, because you'll have that memory and you don't forget anything as a spirit. And you'll be able to help, guide, direct, show them the true love of a loving God servant. At that time you'll be kings and priests. Our calling is one that's be forever. Our calling is one that will be a part of God's family forever. Jesus Christ told us in John 14:2. Turn over to John 14:2 since we're close. As Christ was preparing for his death, let's go for 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's talking to his apostles. In my Father's house are many mansions, or dwellings it has in the center, but anyhow, it's probably mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And this Bible, this words of God, Jesus Christ, has been preserved so that each of us have that opportunity to know about Jesus, God's Son, and about God the Father, and what they have offered to you and I. We are blessed to be offered, if we obey and serve you, eternal life. That's hard to understand because we're physical. But as we read and study more, we will understand it. Let's be sure that you and I become the lights that God has called you and I to be, that we talked about back in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. That's where it's at. And it will continue, as it says in Matthew 5, 13. We are to be the good salt with flavor. We are not to lose our flavor. If we lose our flavor, we're not going to be. We have to be close to God. We have to be going, shining our light, and setting the right example before the world. This is God's world. He is coming back. He is going to reclaim it. You and I have the opportunity to be one of the first fruits and kings and priests. That's what we're called to be. We're not called just to be here. We're called to be workers of God's way of life. We are not called to go back to the dog's vomit, which is mentioned in 2 Peter 18:22. If we go back, it's going to be worse than it was when we left. Because when we go back to the prodigal son, when he rejected his father and his ways, where did he end up? He got his inheritance and he blew it. And he was everybody's friend at the time when he had money. And he was buying. But when he lost the money, they discarded him like, goodbye. We don't even know you. We got another sucker over here who will do what you did. So he had to eat with the pigs. And during that pig slop, he understood that his father's place was a whole lot better. And he just wanted his father to let him be one of his servants, is all he asked. He did not come back. He was not expecting the welcome that his father gave him. Because you see, he did not understand the love of a father. His father kept looking for him. His father kept wanting him to be back with the family. And God wants anyone who has been with us years ago or went away, he wants them back. He wants them back. They have certain knowledge. And someday their mind may be opened and they'll come back. And guess what they need to come back to? We who are loving family, saying welcome home. Because that's what you would do for your child. And that's what God does for his children. And that's what we're to do, because we're to be God's children. We're to have the love and grow in his love. And be the shining light that God has called us to be. We are to be the doers. James 1:25 tells us in closing. Turn with me to James 1:25. Let's go back to 23. Yeah, let's go clear back to 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive your with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And have you seen that in people who have left God's church? They truly change. And you know, there are websites out there now where people who was in the worldwide Church of God is nothing. I've seen different times statements they've made. And they hate. I mean, they literally hate what they knew. They hate Herbert W. Armstrong, and they hate everyone else. Because what it did to their lives, it has destroyed them. No, they destroyed themselves. They left. They had no understanding. If they're baptized, hopefully they had God's Spirit at one time. But they threw it away. They were deceived by Satan. Whether it was by a man, by whatever it was they were deceived by, who convinced them. I know that during the time that we had the big split, there was 140-some thousand people in God's church throughout the world. Dayton, Ohio had 300-and-some people. Tip City had 300-and-some people. And how many do we have today? Big drop. But you know what? You have to gleam out and make sure that the true ones are still here. And that's what God has done all this time. Well, you and I are still here. Many are being called now. You say, oh, there's only one, two, three, four. Well, that's true. But like I said, if you look at how many people in the world, and you take how many people from all the different churches that have spun off from Worldwide Church of God, we have, I think there's about 100 on the website somewhere, if I remember correctly, at one time. And they go from one person to four people, you know. But we are not the only ones. There are some others, just like it was back in early times. When he said, well, I'm the only one. No, he wasn't the only one. So I got 5,000 or 6,000 people over here you don't even know about. But we are one of God's churches. And we're trying to obey. And if we're obeying, and we're growing in love in that, and we're getting the message out, then we're doing God's will. You know, I was thinking, in fact, I wrote it down. I don't know who chose the songs. Did you or Nick choose the songs our day? Nick? Well, let's go over what songs were we've heard so far. You're a chosen generation. I just thought that was beautiful. I said, it just fits right in. Keep God's holy day, Sabbath. All must be well. If we're with God, all must be well. Think about it. We're in God's hands. All must be well if we're with Him. Because there's no one greater. There's no one who can do more for us than the living God. There's no one who can protect us like the living God. He is the one and great God. And Jesus Christ is His wonderful Son. And there again, all hail the power. All hail the power of our King. When you sing these songs like Ron was talking about earlier, I remember Mr. Armstrong used to say he couldn't sing them sometimes because he got so involved with the words. Because they are scriptures. A lot of us scriptures, you know, the words are scriptures. And then the last song we sang before the sermon was, "Glorious things are thee are spoken." Is that not the truth? Our God is the great, wonderful Father who has called you and me, has been loving, and has called you and I to be the lights to this world today, tomorrow, and hopefully forever.